The good news is finally here. Friends, listen to me. This is serious business. What the world needs today is Jesus. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to our program, The Truth Will Set You Free, Bible Prophecy Edition. I'm Vic Batista, along with my co-host Nathan Jones, over with Lamb Lion Ministry. We thank you for being part of today's program as we continue in this amazing book of Isaiah. We're in chapter 59 with a message titled Lack of Justice. So we encourage you to stay tuned, and if you have a Bible, get it ready to follow along with us. If you follow us on social media, we'd love for you to share this program with your friends and family so they can follow along with us as well. But before we continue, I'm going to ask my co-host Nathan Jones if he will open us up with a word of prayer.
We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity to get together, Lord, with all those who've tuned into this podcast. Lord, we really want to dive into your word so we know you better. So help reveal yourself to us today, Lord, so that we may grow in our faith and our relationship with you. In your precious name, amen.
Amen. Again, you're tuned into A Truth Will Set You Free, Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones. Our message for today is lack of justice as we look at Isaiah chapter 59. But before we continue, I'm going to welcome my co-host to the program, Nathan Jones. Nate, another blessed program that we get to do together.
Hey, yes, it is. And Isaiah 59, man, we have gone on a long journey to get this far.
I know. And Nathan, it actually feels good to say 59, right?
It kind of matches a certain person's birthday, too.
Hey! Hey, that's a good point there. I never thought of that. So this is going to be a special program for my age. I'm giving away my age. I know some people thought you and I were only like 21 or 22, Nathan. But
well, my hope is that we'll be raptured before we get to chapter 60.
Yeah, hopefully we will not do one program per year, but it is fun, Nathan. It's always a joy to be able to do these programs together, and also to have listeners give us a little feedback from time to time about the program. But Nate, maybe someone is new, and can we share with them how they can get a hold of our past programs and the ministry resources?
Well, absolutely. Well, this Truth Will Set You Free is the podcast outreach of Lamb and Lion Ministries. We're a Bible prophecy teaching ministry, and our mission is to proclaim the soon return of Jesus Christ. Folks, we believe the signs of the times that Jesus gave us in the Bible indicate that he is coming soon. It is imminent. And so if you'd like to subscribe to this podcast, you can do so through Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, Pray.com, and through our own RSS feed on our website at ChristInProphecy.org. That's ChristInProphecy.org. So check us out. We have a lot going on our website. But also, Vic, we are talking here this week. We got a week coming up where we're going to have our annual Bible Prophecy Conference. We're going to proclaim the soon return of Jesus Christ here in McKinney, Texas at Brookhaven Church on June 12th and 13th. We're going to have Pete Garcia of Revelation 3:10. He's going to be there. We're going to have one of the brilliant scientists from the Institute of Creation Research. He's going to be here too to talk about ages before the flood and judgment. And so we're going to tie that into the tribulation. I'm going to speak on Vic and I's book, The Mighty Angels of Revelation. And so we'd like to invite you, if you are in the McKinney area, stop on by June 12th and 13th. Of course, if you can't make it in person, we will be live streaming the conference on our Christ in Prophecy YouTube channel. So details are on our website, again, ChristInProphecy.org.
Nate, that I'm super excited about that. And hopefully individuals that are able to catch this podcast, and let's say maybe they'll catch this podcast at a later time, I'm sure they can always get the conference, right, Nate, on YouTube or some other resources.
Absolutely, yeah. We'll have it on our Christ in Prophecy YouTube channel. We'll be live streaming that. And so people can go there. Actually, Monday evening at 6:30 Central, Tim and I will be holding an hour-long question and answer session streaming. We'll be taking questions from the people that tune in. So if you're interested and have Bible questions and you want to talk to Tim and I personally, we'll be right there for an hour on Monday night. So you can also find that under our event tab on our website at ChristInProphecy.org for more details.
I want to encourage anyone listening right now, don't miss out on that. Those are always fun opportunities, Nate, to be able to participate in that. So that's going to be awesome. And Nate, speaking of awesome, that book of Isaiah really is awesome. It's really eye-opening, just the each chapter as it reveals God's amazing power, God's love, God's judgment, God's discipline. It's a little bit of everything. And you and I have covered just about everything of that in the book of Isaiah. Sometimes it might seem a little bit gloom and doom, but then I'm glad because the prophet explains why God's judgment or why he's doing what he's doing. So I always love that about the book of Isaiah, Nate. It's long, but it's power-packed.
Yeah, there's 66 chapters. We're at chapter 59. And what we've seen is that this is about 2,700 years ago, so 700 or so BC. God is trying to bring his wayward people back to him. He does it through a series of judgments. The Assyrian Empire had taken the northern 10 tribes in 722 BC. And so this is very current to what's going on in Isaiah's life. And so he's prophesying, okay, the remaining Judah and Benjamin, hey, you guys, get your act together and turn back to the Lord, or judgment's coming on you. And unfortunately, we know they didn't listen to Isaiah. And then by 586 BC, the Jewish people had been cast into exile yet again. So there's a lot of judgment here, but there's a lot of love too. Vic, as we've been going through there, we can hear God saying, hey, like a parent disciplining a child, I'm doing this because I love you. I don't want you chasing after idols, which are demons. I don't want you living for your lusts and the pleasures of this life. Choose the better things. Choose me and have a spiritual relationship and spiritual riches. So you get a lot of God's heart in the book of Isaiah.
Nathan, that's an excellent point. And we hope that those of you that will be following us on today's program will look at that as we dive into Isaiah 59, the heart of the Lord as a parent disciplining his children at times. So, Nate, with that, would you be able to open us up there as we're looking at the New King James Bible, chapter 59, verses 1 through 7, and I'll pick up 8 through 14?
Okay, my Bible has us going up to 15 if you want a more logical stop there, but
Oh, absolutely. Let's do that, Nathan. I know there's like a little break there. Sure.
might as well stay within the breaks. Okay, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity, another word for sin. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words, and they speak lies. They convince, excuse me, they conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. They hatch viper's eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies. And from that which is crushed, a viper breaks out. Their webs will not become garments, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and their acts of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths.
Wow, verse 8, the way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. Therefore, justice is far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. We look for light, but there is darkness, for brightness, but we walk in blackness. We grope for the walls like a blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as a twilight. We are as dead men in desolate places. We all growl like bears and moan sadly, like doves. We look for justice, but there is none, for salvation, but is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and for our iniquities we know them. Verse 13, that transgressions and lying against the Lord and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, justice is turned back and righteousness stands afar off. For truth is falling in the streets and equity cannot enter. So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Nathan, what an opening verse and introduction as we look at this powerful 15 verses.
Yeah, and what's really interesting is the first three verses really stand out to me because it talks about really the human condition. You know, this idea, behold, the land, the Lord's hand is not shortened. In other words, you know, people say, well, God is distant, or that old deist view that God wound the universe up and then took off and left. Or, you know, where is God when I need him? And he's saying, hey, the Lord isn't hand not short. In other words, he's not there. He doesn't have trouble hearing you. He says, this is the problem you have. Verse 2, your iniquities, your sins have separated from your God, and your sins have hidden your face so that he will not heal. And and you're like, well, why won't God heal me? Verse 3, your hands are filled with blood and your fingers are covered in iniquity. You lie and you're perverse. In other words, sin has separated us from God. So it's not that God has left us, but because of our rebellion against him, which is really what sin is, we have left God. So really, chapter 59, right there in those first three verses, encapsulate the human condition, the fallen human condition. Why don't we see God? Why can't we go see the Father? It's because our sin has separated us from him.
Oh, Nathan, what a great point. You know, oftentimes we see those pictures of Jesus, the cross being a bridge for people to be able to cross for salvation. And oftentimes the bridge is out, and that's because we've chosen to do that. But God is always right there extending his hand. But Nate, what a great point. Our sins separate us. And that's why it opens dramatically. Verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortening, just like you mentioned, Nate. And it's almost like trying to get people's attention. Here's the problem. Your sins have separated you. And Nathan, people get offended when we call them sinners. But the reality is that the Bible says that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I mean, when we look at Genesis chapter 6, there we remember the flood. It was clear what was happening to the human race. Early in history, we already saw the sins and debauchery in the hearts of people, just doing whatever they wanted. And here we have Isaiah again, reminding us the sin in Genesis chapter 3, and then you get to Genesis chapter 6, and already you see all the corruption in humanity because of sin.
Yeah, it's interesting when the Lord looks and reflects back on the time period before the flood. It says that the people, that's all they thought about was evil. That's all they could think about. That's all they ever wanted to do. And also, they were horrifically violent. I mean, the murders and then also the debauchery, the sexual sins. So they pretty much devolved into almost demonic creatures. And so the Lord says, that's it. I got to wipe out humanity. I'm going to take the eight righteous people that are left, and we're going to start over again. And yet it still continues to be the sin condition for us today. You know, it's interesting, Vic, when you get to verses 4 and 5, it's like it's not just that, well, they're lying, little white lies here. They're trying to live decently. He says, hey, no one wants justice. And they won't.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, they just don't want it. They want to do whatever they want to do. And, you know, lately, Vic, my wife and I have taken up to watching a lot of these arrest videos like Body Cam Nation and
okay.
Sergeant Curtis. And it's interesting to watch the human condition. And overall, every time the cops pull some over, and God bless the cops for the police,
yes,
for having to put up with all that and protect us. But these people, basically, they're like, I just want to do what I want to do without consequences. And that overall is the human condition. Isn't it interesting, though, in verse 5, Vic, how the Lord compares evil to eating snake eggs and spider eggs? I mean, isn't that disgusting? I mean, you go outside and you look at one of those spider sacks, and it's got the little eggs in it. You know, one day it's going to burst and all these tiny, you know, we wouldn't eat that. And that's what the Lord's comparing to evil. It's so disgusting, so vile. And yet people, because of their own pride of life and their lusts and their desire to do violence, we would rather eat the spider eggs than the fruit of the spirit.
Nathan, wow, what a way to put it. I mean, but that's a reality. Our society is bursting at the seams, about to give birth. These eggs are about to hatch, and actually, we've seen that in society. When you look at the gruesome things that people do, violence. I was just thinking, you know, the hideous crimes such as 9/11, the terrorist attacks. It's just so many things that society. Reminds me a lot, like we were reading, we're saying in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. Nate, I have to say that if it wasn't because of the church and the influence that we make, can you imagine this world? It would just be chaos.
Yeah, and that's what the Bible talks about in 2 Thessalonians 2, the restraining influence. The Holy Spirit's work through the church restrains evil. But when the Lord then takes, and this is one of the major arguments for the rapture of the church happening before God pours out his wrath again, like the flood, but this time in the tribulation, is the fact that the restraining influence is removed. Thereby, humanity devolves back into what Jesus prophesied in Matthew 24, that the world would get as evil as it was in the days of Noah, and again, the days of Lot with Sodom and Gomorrah. And so you have to have the church removed for humanity to basically, it's like when the parents go on vacation and the teens are like, yay, we got a party time, you know? And that's what the world will be like after the rapture. They'll be like celebrating that those horrible Christians are finally gone. They could do whatever they want. And out of that, this man of lawlessness, a lawless man himself, will become king of the world through that, and then become a dictator like they always do, and then force everybody into slavery to worship him. But that's how sin works. That's the spider eggs, is that, yeah, the idea of being free from the constraints of morality sound wonderful. And for a time it's pleasurable, but that cop's pulling you over at some point, you know, that judgment will come, and it's like eating those snake eggs or spider eggs. It's a horrible thing in the end. And so, brother, that's a good reference to go back to Genesis, because again, as bad as it was then, the Bible prophesies in the end times it's going to be just as bad.
Well, Nathan, and then we move from Genesis and we move forward in history, because as we look at verse 7 in Isaiah 59, it speaks about a society. It says their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their path. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. Romans chapter 1, Nate, verses 18 through 23. I'm not sure if you're able to read those for us, but it's also a reminder as we fast forward what the Bible has to say, also societies doing the times, you know?
18 through 23, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they're without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to become wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things."
So, and that's society today. When they reject God because they think they're so wise, they actually become fools. And when we see the foolishness of men and the foolish things that they're doing, it's mind-boggling how they can justify these things.
Oh yeah, I mean it's primary season, so we know the elections are coming up, and we wonder, man, some of these candidates are absolute fools. They have no more. I mean, look at that guy up in Maine, right, with the Nazi tattoo. I think he's an oyster farmer. He swears and sexts, and you know, it just and he's going to be the candidate for the Democratic Party. The guy's a fool. But that's what happens, that when people run to foolishness because their evil hearts want to reject what God has seen. I mean, it says right there that in Romans 1 here, that the people suppress the truth because they deny that there's a God, even though they know that there's a God. And what do we call that today? It's evolution. This is a prophecy about evolution. In the end times, it's clear that there's an architect. It's so evident in the complexity of creation that there must be a God. And yet, what do? They not only reject God, but then they chase after idols. They make their own gods so they can have their own religion and they can decide what's right and wrong. And it's a horrible condition of the human heart, but we see that all around. Why do societies crumble? Why do empires never last? Because eventually the people come so corrupt, they put in leaders that will allow them to be corrupt. The economies collapse. The fools are in charge. There's another place too, right, Vic, in the Bible. It talks about children. It's like putting children in charge of you. They don't have the wisdom to lead.
Oh, Nathan, I agree. I mean, when you look at Isaiah here, chapter, going back to Isaiah 59, and you look at verses 14 and 15, it says, "Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey." So, Nate, when we look, I mean, I thank the Lord for the United States of America. I immigrated here back in 1976 from the Dominican Republic. I'm very thankful. But when I see the direction where not just our nation, but this world is headed, Nathan, it's like, where is truth? Where is justice? Where is the minds of people?
Yeah, I know. If we're a Judeo-Christian society, man, I shudder to think about some of these other nations, what the morality must be like.
Oh boy, and that's why Isaiah, in writing here, he doesn't pull any punches in those first 15 verses. I mean, it just outlines what's happening in society. But as we get to the next few verses, as we were sharing earlier, Nate, there is the sad situation in society. But God is always there pleading with the people that they would turn and turn back to Him. So, Nate, will you be able to pick it up for us there, verses 16 and 18? And I'll read 19 and 20 in case someone doesn't have a Bible.
Sure thing. Yeah, it's kind of weird how, at least in my New King James Version, it separates right in the middle of verse
Right.
15 into. So that's kind of disturbed. So I'm going to go back a little and pick up at 15 there. It says, "So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak."
Wow, I love that. And then we also notice, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and from his glory from the rising of the sun when the enemies come like a flood, the spirit of the Lord lift up a standard against him. The Redeemer will come from Zion unto those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My spirit who is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants, says the Lord, from this time forevermore." What a shift, Nathan, in this half of the chapter.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Lord saying here, hey, the world is so evil that where is the champion of justice? Well, I can't find one. So I guess I will be the champion of justice. And so what this becomes is what's called a messianic passage. It's pointing forward to the fact that God would send his own son to bring salvation to the world. And he's going to be the champion of justice and righteousness. He's going to bring judgment upon the wicked, but he's also going to provide the only means of salvation by sacrificing himself in our place. And then when we put our faith and trust in him, that the anger of God, John 3:36, the wrath of God is comes off us. It's put instead on his son, and so that we can inherit eternal life forever. So it's a fascinating to think that the Lord came up with this means of salvation before he even created us. He knew we were going to fall. We knew he'd rebel, but he also knew that he would have to come and be our champion and die a horrible death so that he could fill heaven with people who want to be with him forever. Folks, that's the big 30,000-foot view picture here. God has been working redemption to fill heaven with people who wish to be with him forever.
Oh man, and what a sacrifice. It reminds me of the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was in the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." And Jesus came, Nathan, according to John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. So Jesus came and died. He became that redemption, that intercessor. I love that in verse 16. It says, "I wonder there was no intercessor that his own arm brought salvation to him, and his own righteousness sustained him." And that's why we open the program with the title of "The Lack of Justice," because we notice that true justice comes through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. You know, a few years ago, I was invited to be on a podcast of an atheist, and actually, he had me brought back too. And it was interesting. In the end, like typical, there's no such thing as an atheist. He believed in God, and at some point, he finally admitted it. But he just wished God would leave him alone. And I said, "Well, I know why you fear God. It's because God will come back and judge the world of its sins. If those who've accepted Christ as Savior, their sins are forgiven. They don't have to pay eternal death and hell. They get to enjoy being with the Lord forever. But for those who remain in rebellion against him, they will be judged and they will found be guilty and they will be sent to the lake of fire." And what just blew my mind, Vic, is that this guy knew all this. He knew that was his future, but he refused to repent. He didn't want to give up his sins. He just loved them more than he loved God, and he was willing to go to hell over it and spend an entire life pretending that he didn't believe in God. That's how wicked the human heart is.
Nathan, and pride, wow, is
Oh
just
yeah.
such a wall. People are so proud to ask for help or admit that they're wrong or that they mistakes. I find there's true strength in people that are willing to humble themselves and oftentimes say, "You know what? I don't understand something. Can you help me? Or can you forgive me? Or I was wrong." And it really takes a humbling heart to be able to do that. But I find true strength in people that are willing to open up and be vulnerable and be open to the things of God. But when we harden our hearts and we think we know it all, well, I'm a macho, I'm a man, I'm proud, I know everything, I don't need, then according to the Bible, we are in a sense destined to destruction because we've chosen that hard heart, more like Pharaoh in the Old Testament, right, Nate? All the plagues came, and the Bible says that after a while, Pharaoh hardened his heart so many times that God said, "Well, then you know what? I'm gonna be in agreement with you." And he hardened his heart. And unfortunately, that's how humanity is today if they don't soften their hearts to the things of the Lord.
No, that's an excellent point. And you know, the Lord gave the angels the opportunity. That's why Satan's allowed to run amok, because he's a lightning rod for those who wish to rebel against him. And so the third of the angels decide not to follow the Lord anymore. Okay, well, that means two-thirds want to follow. They use their free will to choose the Lord forever. Likewise, there's a remnant of humanity who chooses Jesus Christ and his salvation and so are forgiven. And they too will get to dwell eternal life. Because why? They seek justice. They seek righteousness. They're humble, like you said. That's what the Lord wants in people. And that's so hard with the fallen nature. And that's why, in the very last verse here, verse 21, says, "My spirit who is upon you, and my words which I will put in your mouth," which is actually the Father telling the Son that he's going to give him the spirit. But once we are saved, that same spirit is promised to be in us so that we can fight the desire to fall back into our old sin nature and to live righteously, anticipating the day that when we're resurrected, we'll be given our glorified bodies and no longer will we have a sin nature. We won't desire to rebel against God anymore. Brother, I am so looking forward to that day.
Oh, praise the Lord, Nate. And I believe that day is coming soon. But Nate, I love how you close that there in verse 21 by speaking about the Spirit of God wanting to dwell with man. And listen, if you're part of this program and you don't have a relationship with the Lord, God loves you and God has a special plan for your life. The Holy Spirit has always been with you. Maybe you recognize that in your life. Now give God an opportunity to move position the Holy Spirit from being with you to being inside of you. And you can do that by calling on the name of the Lord, turning from your sins and asking and inviting Jesus to come into your heart. And if you don't have a relationship with him, we want to invite you right now to start that relationship. And you can do so with a very simple prayer that I'm going to share with you. And if you repeat this prayer, you mean it from your heart, God will change and transform your life. And wherever you are, you can just call on the name of the Lord. Just say, Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. And God, right now, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I want to invite you, Jesus, to come into my heart, to be my Lord, to be my Savior, and to be my friend. And from this day forth, I want to follow you, Jesus. In your name I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And whoever you are, wherever you are, if you pray that prayer for the first time and you honestly meant it from your heart, God has granted you eternal life. And if the rapture comes or if death comes, you will be in the Lord's hands with us in heaven. So we thank you for being part of the program and also for opening your heart to the Lord. And if you want more information, you can always call us at 305-992-9537 for prayer or write to us at webminister@lamblion.com. And we would love to hear from you. So, Nate, that was the good news. That verse 21 that you shared for us was perfect.
It's a fantastic verse. It really encapsulates the Lord's love for us. And I pray that everybody here follows the Lord and loves him too.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. And of course, we ran out of time for this segment of the program. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones saying goodbye. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. Have a wonderful day.